Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Today, I have my resident soul man, woo, Ainsley McLeod. Has anyone ever called you a soul man, Ainsley?
I have heard that one before.
I mean, we're going to have some music to accompany it next time, so it'll sound way cooler. So Ainsley is here to help us embrace the core values that lie at the center of our souls. No pressure, you know, seriously. No big promise, really. Just help me figure out the core values that lie at the center of my soul. Oh, and by the way, while you're at it, can you help me reach my soul's intended destiny? That'd be awesome. Yeah. And let's do it in 10 minutes or less.
it's just what I do.
It's amazing. Okay. All right. So I read your book. It's called The Transformation, Healing Your Past Lives to Realize Your Soul's Potential. And here's what I understand about this book. It has each of us has 10 core soul values that are universal to everyone. So examples of that are equality, cooperation, respect, justice, knowledge. And then you talk about fears that really get in the way of us actually achieving these goals. And then you talk about how to basically overcome these fears. And the thing that's fascinating are there are hundreds and hundreds of stories in this book. Are there hundreds? That's probably an exaggeration, but there are many stories.
There are 40 client stories that I put in that book.
And they're fantastic. So here's the fascinating thing. When you've worked with these clients, tell the listeners about some of the things that you find with these clients and how they're all connected to their past lives, current lives, etc.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's where to begin. I mean, I'm just blown away time and time again by how many issues in our lives are related to our past lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we think it's something from childhood or usually it's, We have no idea. It's the irrational fears or why am I this way? I use a lot of examples in the book, like I say, about 40 clients whose stories are in there. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to give an example?
Yeah, I would. And actually, you know, it's so funny. I was just in a class. I was sharing with you earlier that I'm in a class, and this gal said to me, I have this, like, little thing. It's like a little fibroid thing. I have no idea. I've had it all my life. I'm not sure what it is, but it's these kind of inexplicable things that people can't tell. They can't tell their doctor. Their doctor doesn't know what it is. These are the kinds of things that you discover or past lives, right? Is that the general gist?
Well, I have three clients who have, three to my knowledge, who've had exploratory surgery looking for something that comes from a past life. Mm. In each case, I saw that they'd had abdominal wounds, and I said, did you have, when you were younger, did you have unexplained pain? Say, oh, yeah, you know, and had surgery, and of course they couldn't find anything because it's all coming from the past life. And of course, what happens when you go in and experience or re-experience a past life, you remind your soul that that was then and this is now, and it no longer has to hold on to the fears, and many of those are physical, of course, have. I call them Achilles body parts, where you'll have that kind of weakness. Mm-hmm. And people go to doctors, and they can't find anything, and they look around. And and very often, I'll do a past life with somebody. Normally, I'm telling them it's not a regression where I take them into an altered state and they explore themselves. Usually, I just tell somebody what happened. Mm-hmm. And then next time I speak to them, I'll say, well, how is the... You know, how is the rash or the pain in your knee or whatever it is? And they go, oh, my gosh, it's completely gone. Along with usually the other fears, you know, maybe fear of rejection or whatever, the relationships have improved and so on. And the healing can happen very, very quickly. I think that's the wonderful thing about doing past life work, that if you hit on the past life, a traumatic past life, the healing can happen instantly.
And what do you mean by like the healing can happen instantly? So, you talked about three different examples. Step us through an example of someone who came in, had an inexplicable pain, and then how the healing happened almost instantaneously.
Okay. Well, I checked. Somebody I was working with sometime last year, she was the CEO of a corporation. I had to give up her whole career because of continual migraines. And what we did was we had a session. My spirit guides, I love it when they do this, but I work with spirit guides, and they're sometimes are very, very confident. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we'll heal this up pretty much instantly. Mm. And they did. They said basically cut out sugar and look at this past life. And it was one in which she had been a chauffeur in Bulgaria, of all places, and had a car crash that resulted in a trauma to the head. And after doing this, the migraines completely disappeared. No problems again.
Okay, so she'd never had migraines. So once she found out, hey, by the way, this is probably related to a past life when you're a chauffeur in Bulgaria, she said, okay. And, like, her body just no longer had migraines?
Basically, her soul goes, oh, okay, we don't need to hold on to that one anymore. And it's by releasing any of the fears that your soul's holding on to, that the physical issues heal up as well.
Mm. Now, how do you know in the case of migraines, right, how do you know that it was, and then she's a CEO of a corporation, that would probably give many people a migraine. How do you know if it's related to her job or if it's related to a past life?
Well, the proof is really that when you do the past life work, things change. And, of course, there can be stresses. I mean, the headaches maybe came on as a result of stress. And, of course, there was a dietary component as well. But the evidence is there. I was thinking about this earlier today. I had a couple of big past life sessions with clients this morning, and they really seemed to, you know, we hit on some very, very big issues. And one of the things that is that you can continually make connections that I can say to the person, well, you're bound to have problems with your eyes. And they go, oh, my gosh, yes, you know, I have this, that, and the next thing. And it's not just, you know, it's not kind of guesswork. You can see that if something happened in that past life, there's going to be some resonance in this life. It's very common to just see an Achilles body part directly from the past life.
So when you talk to your guides, or do you see the eyes? Like, does the spirit guide? So spirit guides, tell everyone what those spirit guides are too, because they may be like, who are these people? Do I have them? Who are these spirit guides?
Spirit guides are on other planes of existence. They are souls. We all have a soul, and they are souls like us who are either between lives or they've completed all their lives on the physical plane. Mm-hmm. They're here to help us, and I'm very fond of saying that spirit guides are like opinions in certain body parts. We all have them. So a lot of people come to me and they say, oh, I don't think I have spirit guides, or I don't think they're listening to me. And usually the problem, well, we all have spirit guides, and they are around, and they will respond to you asking them for help, but we don't always hear them. And a lot of that has to do with not being in a place where we can really pay attention to what's going on. When I say hear them, it doesn't necessarily come as a voice. I have a lot of difficulty explaining even how I work with spirit guides. It's like listening to thoughts is about the closest that I can get. But I get everything in full sentences, and sometimes I'll get visuals that will help to make sense of what's
interesting. Happening. Now, we actually have Anita from France on the line. We have someone from France calling. So, Chris, can you, is she still there?
Yes, I am. I can't believe I'm online. I can't believe it.
I can't believe you're calling from France.
I am.
Awesome. So, welcome, Anita. Did you have a question about... did you have a question for Ainsley about the stuff that we're talking about? Tell us about your question.
Well, right, I'm actually reading the instruction, and I fell strong connection, and I was wondering if I was a soul nine spiritualist.
Well, that's an interesting question. Reading the instruction and wondering if you're a level nine spiritualist. Most of my clients, I should say the bulk of my clients, are level nine, and the majority of them are spiritualists because they're the people who are going to read a book like that. It is very interesting. But no, really, before the instruction was published, my clients were a fair old mix. I certainly saw more spiritualists and creator types, and these soul types are archetypes that I go into in the instruction. The moment the book was published, suddenly I had this influx of level nine spiritualists because. Who else is going to read a book like this?
No, I think if I want to be a level nine spiritualist, I'll just buy the book. Does it work the other way around? I could just skip a level and buy the book. That'd be way easier. Don't have to even learn my life lessons.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yes, there's no. It's certainly going to have huge growth in a single life, but you can't really skip that level.
Yeah. I'm just joking.
So,
if I could only buy your book and skip my level, not have to go through anything, that'd be awesome, I think. Or maybe not.
That's the funny thing. Old souls want to get out of here as quickly as possible.
I know, Anita. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. So many thanks to you, Ainsley. We actually have to go for a break. And we were just talking about your very first book called The Instruction, and in which you talk about soul lives. And that was the question that Anita was talking about. And level nine being the second level before you go. Level 10, of course, is the highest level when you then go to this spirit guide level. But folks, hang in there. We're going to talk to Ainsley about love. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Are you looking for that special gift that will uplift, inspire, and give a heart a voice to express itself? Let our 365 messages of gratitude box diffused in English and French connect you daily with the essence of gratitude. Open daily a message of gratitude and gracefully move through your day. Offer this gift of gratitude to a hostess, a teacher, a mentor, an elder, anyone who inspires you to feel gratitude. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com. That's explorationgratitude.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Steak Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And I was listening to that song before I came on, and I thought, what a perfect soul for, what a perfect song for Ainsley MacLeod. Isn't that perfect? Did you listen to the lyrics?
I love it. Yeah.
It's so perfect. It's like you could have been writing that song. It's so perfect. So Ainsley MacLeod is going to help us figure out how to get back to our soul's desire to know and feel the power of love in our lives. So you have a whole chapter about, tell us about your chapter of the fulfillment of love.
Okay, yeah, well, I wanted to talk about a couple of things related to love, because love is one of the major goals, these transformational goals that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Love is possibly the ultimate goal that your soul is trying to learn through all its many lifetimes on the physical plane. So you come here, and there are what are called missions. These are smaller chunks of experience that you'll choose for each life. And there actually is a mission of love as well that a lot of people will choose. Now, it's been kind of interesting learning about this, because I used to think that you'd have to have a mission of love to be loving, and apparently not. You don't have to have that. You can still experience love and deep intimacy. It just simply by having the mission, it puts love and compassion on the front burner, and it's very often chosen as a protective measure. If you've had trouble getting all the love that you wanted as a child, then this prevents you from becoming embittered. One thing, in fact, that I found with working with my clients is that mostly if a person has a mission of love, and this is what they're really big focus of what they're doing here, they'll be very much more demonstrative about love than their parents would ever have been able to be. That they make sure the kids know that they're loved. And it's just a bigger thing in their lives. But all these experiences throughout your many lifetimes take you to that awareness that really, when it comes down to it, it's all about love. You know, this is really what your soul is wanting to learn. There are 9 other transformational goals, but this really is the pinnacle. Now, one of the things that my guides have been talking about a little recently is about being lovable. I mean, just around Valentine's Day, I was talking to my guides about this. It was a subject that was, you know, obviously up for a lot of people. And the question is really, how do you draw love into your life? How do you ensure that you can have the best possible relationship, or even find a relationship in the first place? Mm-hmm. And this very interesting subject came up that my guides were talking about, and it's about authenticity. It's about the importance of being yourself. This kind of goes back to the kind of stuff that I talk about in my first book, about figuring out through looking at your soul age and soul type, about really finding out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So my guides were saying that it's by being yourself, not pretending to be anything that you're not, is that you start to create this more lovable person. And the reason they explained is that your soul hates incongruity. It feels very uncomfortable if you encounter somebody who's not being themselves. You know what it's like? You meet somebody and you feel like there's what you're seeing is not quite what you're getting.
Yeah, I don't feel love at all towards them. No, I'm just
kidding.
It is true, isn't it? There's sort of this
nice person.
Yeah.
It creates a kind of dissonance.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that we recognize it in other people, but we don't always see that we may be the person who's projecting that. And this is all happening on a very subtle level. It's happening on a soul level. So as my spirit guides have been telling me, one of the most important things about bringing love into your life is to really be the person that you are. And of course, that requires a lot of self-knowledge. You have to kind of go into your soul and figure out just who you are. Mm-hmm. A lot of that comes from developing empathy. And this is another aspect of this that's related to a past life fear.
Wait, can I just go back to, let me zoom back just slightly. Like, how about if you're like Eeyore? Like, let's say your authentic self is Eeyore, right? You're like, I get it. You know, and you get up in the morning. I mean, should you really be your authentic self at that point?
Well, that's not your authentic self. If you are Eeyore, it's very unlikely that that is who you are. That you know, Eeyore is manifesting a past life fear, past life fear of failure. He's had failures in previous lifetimes, and he's going, what's the point?
Right.
You know, he's become cynical. He's given up trying. He's procrastinating. He's not making things happen. But he's actually acting from a place of fear.
Okay, so when you talk about authenticity, it's like operating from the authentic part of your soul.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, got it.
And that involves really looking at what the fears are, recognizing what your blocks are, and doing something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big part of what my second book is about, identifying the fears, because you can identify them through the way that they manifest in your life, the resonances, like Eeyore's fear of failure. He's not trying anything. He's given up because if he actually tried, he risks failure. So he just doesn't.
Now, in your chapter, you talk about typically the fear is rejection, but it could be other types of fears. Is that right for love? It could be several different fears.
When it comes to love, the big fears are a fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of intimacy,
mm-hmm.
and often a fear of inferiority.
Mm.
So inferiority, if we take that one first of all, that tends to be the belief that you're not deserving of love. If you're feeling lesser, and this comes from a past life where you were treated as lesser, you were treated as, it could have been a sex object, or you were a mistreated servant, or you were controlled by your parents, perhaps. Now, what happens then in this life is that if you get some triggers for that inferiority, you go into that place where you feel lesser. It's so common that people with the fear of inferiority settle in relationships. They choose a relationship that's, you know, this is probably the best I can get. They don't feel very deserving of love. They get into this, you know, choose a relationship that's first one that comes along, rather than holding out for something that they really want. Unfortunately, one of the things about people with a fear of inferiority is that they are often very unclear about what their needs are. I often say that if you ask somebody with a fear of inferiority, what are your needs, they stare blankly. They're like the deer in the headlights. It's like, I don't know. Never had the chance to really focus on
that. I'm not even important enough to figure out my needs, right?
That's it, not important enough.
So
one of the things that can really help there is to start getting clear about what it is you really want. What are your needs? And what are you looking for in a relationship? And that can change the relationship you're in or help you to find a better relationship if you're not in one currently.
So in your book, you talk about, so you mentioned there's several different, several internal fears that we may have. Who knows if they're a past life or not, but they actually interfere with our goal of actually finding love or being in love in this lifetime.
So you said fear of intimacy, for example.
Yeah, intimacy, rejection, and inferiority is, in an inferiority's case, you know, really it's about the solution is being clear with your needs and wants. How about the solutions for rejection and intimacy? What are, how you go about achieving those goals if you have those fears?
Okay, well, fear of intimacy comes, there are two causes in past lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's either unwanted intimacy like rape or abuse,
mm-hmm.
or the other one is it's more common is to have fallen madly in love with someone and then that person dies or they go off to war, never come back. And either way, what happens is that your soul makes this association with that intimacy equals pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a fear of intimacy, what tends to happen is that you protect yourself. Your soul doesn't want to go through that terrible pain and suffering again, so it doesn't allow you to get to someone. So a lot of people will know this. I mean, when you say, like, not giving 100%, I like to hear people saying, oh, I've never given 100% to anybody. They really probably wouldn't know how to do it. But they hold something of themselves back. And unfortunately, when you do that, you don't allow the relationship the best opportunity. I mean, I often hear people talk about, well, my relationships never seem to work out. Well, you know, if you don't give 100%, you can't. You don't really give the relationship the best chance of working.
Okay, and how about rejection? And we actually have to go to break. Oh, gosh, we have to go to break. Darn. And you know what? I know, Charlie from Washington, you're out there. We're going to get you after break. So thank you, Ainsley, for just it's interesting. I love these models. It actually takes the complex and simplifies them down to kind of the core pieces. Love it, love it, love it. So, guys, we're talking about Ainsley's book, The Transformation, his new book that's just come out, The Transformation, Healing Your Past Lives to Realize Your Soul's Potential. So we will be right back. And, folks, make sure to go for Ainsley's class on February 25th at the eastwestbookshop.com.
TalkRadio.com. Transformation TalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Welcome back. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have author Ainsley MacLeod, who is going to be doing the only reading for today, but he did a reading on Obama and Mitt Romney. He's using the model of his book from the instruction, and we're going to find out all about these potential candidates, and maybe you can get some information about their soul, whether you want to vote for them. Thank you, Ainsley, by the way, for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a fascinating little exploration.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Tell us all. What did you find out?
All right. Well, let me start by saying that just generally, as your soul ages, you tend to become a little bit more accepting of others, a little bit more progressive, more concerned about social issues, other people. So you do expect that those on the right tend to be younger souls, those on the left tend to be older. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting exploration. There are 10 levels in all, for those who haven't read my first book. Mm-hmm. 10 soul levels, there are multiple lives at each point. But there is this midpoint where you go from being a level 5 soul to a level 6 soul, which is actually the halfway point. And that's where you go from being a young soul to an old soul.
Okay, so if you tell me a number 6 or 6 to 10, that's an old soul. 1 through 5, that's a young soul. Right?
So, starting with Mitt Romney, I was very surprised to find, I would assume he was a level 5 soul because so many politicians are level 5 souls. Level 5 souls are the ones who are drawn in most countries, most times in history, to run the place. Mm-hmm. There's an awful lot of that energy, the desire to shape the world and so on. So Mitt Romney is actually level 6.
Hmm.
A little bit older than I imagined. As my spirit guide said, he's not so self-serving as some of his peers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually a very good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. I'm impressed.
His soul types, this is how his soul type and influences are put together. He's a leader type. And to some extent you can tell by the appearance and the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, could be worse.
He's
then got a thinker influence and an educator influence. So a very, very left brain sort of fellow overall. Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of on the plus side, basically.
Okay.
Could be worse, I think.
Okay.
The things that would worry me are his attitudes towards poor people. Obviously, we have somebody who's very affluent, and I think that really says a lot about the system that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll get off my soapbox in a minute, but I think it's a real problem in this country that we don't have publicly financed elections, and it's mm-hmm. so down to, it's basically the richest man's got the best chance of winning.
Yeah.
He did say recently that he's not very concerned about the very poor. I didn't think said a lot about him. And the other thing that I think alarms a lot of people is his having strapped the family dog to the car. And you know about that? How he?
No, that's awful. I know about the poor people, but strap the family dog to the car
for what reason? Put the family dog in a car carrier on the roof and drove for 12 hours.
And,
no kidding. I mean, I wouldn't want to vote for somebody like that. I mean, that would... That doesn't bode well. You know, if he's not concerned about poor people or the family dog, then, you know, and the problem is that somebody like Mitt, he's really going to be great for business. He's going to be great for banks, but I really don't imagine he's going to be very good for the people. Mm. It's not just him, but...
What's his mission is what? What's his mission in life?
Actually, the big mission for him is actually change. So
well, that's good.
He does want to make a difference. Yeah, it depends on what that change is, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, that change is probably going to be very good for businesses and banks.
Yeah, but, not dogs.
Yeah, it's very difficult for, you know, someone like himself, like I said, very very rational, mm-hmm. very right, very left brain, in a world that he's in, which is very, very level five, mm-hmm. you can't imagine him really creating much positive social change. I think he sometimes has a way with words that this may be the thinker in him as well. He's kind of he said something that really made me laugh, which was when Newt Gingrich was talking about he wanted to put a permanent base on the moon. I don't know if you call that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Romney said, he said something like if he had an executive who came to him and said he wanted to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to put a colony in the moon, he would say, "You're fired."
he's a funny guy, and he's a highly intelligent guy. I mean, I'll give him that, which is, I think, why you got the thinker educator. How about put Obama in contrast, or did you have a chance to look at Santorum, or is it too scary?
It's a little scary. Well, Santorum is level four. And,
oh, my God.
And I really don't think this country needs a level four president.
Yeah. Well, tell the listeners what level four even means.
Well, Barack Obama, he's a level eight soul. You know, again, feeling mm-hmm. it could be worse. He's a spiritualist type. He's got thinker and leader in there as well.
But interesting. He's a spiritualist type. That's his primary
type. Yeah. Hmm. And that's kind of interesting at level eight. Being a spiritualist type, you do feel that he's wanting to do the right thing. Unfortunately, I think what really happens is that these older soul politicians, they get in there and they find the way that the world is run. And it's, you know, it's not run by politicians. It's run by the big money behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's been a huge disappointment for a lot of people. I asked my spirit guides about that, and they just described it as a failed opportunity to create change.
Mm.
I mean, it's clearly caved to the bankers and the likes. I think it's a lot of people had so much hope there. Unfortunately, I think we've seen this before, that they come in there. I notice we're still, the wars are still going on, the banks are still carrying on as usual. We're facing some really pretty major issues. I think one of the biggest problems is that even when you look at the way the candidates are lining up, and you know the Republican candidates are not really addressing the big issues. I mean, what we need is somebody really comes in there and just goes like, okay, you know, I'm going to fix the banks, you know, enough of this nonsense, and we're going to end the wars right now. I mean, that's really what an old soul should be doing. So.
But how does an old soul like Obama, because like if he's probably with a bunch of level four and, you know, five and under, right? I mean, these are the people mm-hmm. who generally get drawn into politics. How is a level eight supposed to work with a bunch of level five and unders?
I would say one of the most important things that he should have been doing but he hasn't is make a change where he can and where he can't express the older soul values. For example, we have a ridiculous and pointless war on drugs. Mm-hmm. You'd expect an older soul to come in and say, "Look, for God's sake, this is ridiculous. You know, we're locking up people for trying to get high. That is just it's crazy. It's a waste of resources, and it's cruel and unusual." And so, I think there's been a failure there. He could at least have stood up for what's right there. And I think this goes, you know, right across the board. I mean, I think there's stuff that's happening with the National Defense Authorization Act. I think that the indefinite detention aspect of that is horrifying. It is shocking that should happen under a level eight president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the sort of thing that if it had happened under Bush, we'd be out in the streets. People would be hollering. And it's actually strangely ironic that a lot of the worst changes happen under Democrats who tend to be older souls, like Bill Clinton's welfare so-called reform. You know, it was really something that hit a nerve with me as an old soul when this whole thing about indefinite detention came up. That really shocked me, and I really didn't expect that. I mean, it was, what was it, 800 years ago, the barons met England's King John at Runnymede, and they hammered out this Magna Carta, and a big part of that was about habeas corpus and not just being carted off to jail for the rest of your life with no charge.
Mm-hmm. So you're just saying, like, an older soul should know better, because it's clearly a moral issue. No one could, it's so clear that everyone would agree.
He should know better from his own experience, from his own past lives, what he's learned, and being closer to those higher goals, the transformational goals, and he should have the balls to stand up and say this is not right.
But how do you work with these level four or under? I mean, or are you just saying that they would look at those things and say, you're right? I mean, even a level four, three, two, or
one. One thing that has happened in this country, I mean, it obviously depends on the part of the world you're in, the culture at the time, history, and so on. But what happens has happened in this country is that the older souls, and this is something that happens to older souls, they doubt themselves. Younger souls have less introspection. It's the big difference. This is the big thing that shifts when you go between being a young soul and an old soul. You go from having little introspection to an awful lot more. The young soul sees the world in black and white. The old soul sees things in shades of gray. And what happens is that time and time again, it looks like those on the left, if you could call it that, I think it's more of what you call center, they get pulled to the right. They're trying to compromise. They're trying to work with people. Mm-hmm. They're not so convinced of their own position, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So they don't have the same fire. In fact, younger souls do have more fire in the belly. That's an unfortunate thing too. So the old souls tend to they'll get suckered often. They get, but the whole process gets pulled over into the young soul arena.
Yeah, so it's in fact the grays that the older souls see that kind of cause the problem, because you're fighting against people who see things in black and white. You see gray, and then the older soul just concedes, like, okay, I'm doubting myself.
It makes it very much harder to get people fired up and behind you with a clear message and so on. I mean, that's a part of it. But what I would hope is that at some point we start getting some older soul leaders that have some... Like I say, they've got some balls, you know. They stand up and they actually say what's what, and they stand up for what's right.
Okay, that's a perfect way to close this segment.
It's like, don't get me started.
That's a perfect way. Let's hire someone who has the balls to do what's right. Love that as a closing statement. Thank you so much for actually taking a sneak peek into these candidates. Guys, if you want to fire up, if you want to have a happy you or happy planet, then go to iTunes Store, type in Fired Up with CJ in the search box, and get a free subscription to our weekly show. Seattle folks, make sure to sign up for Ainsley's class on February 25th by going to eastwestbookshop.com. I took his class and it was fantastic. We will be right back.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com. Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back. Hi, I'm CJ Liu. Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today we have Ainsley MacLeod, who we've been talking about his two books. One is the transformation that just came out. It's called The Transformation, Healing Your Past Lives to Realize Your Soul's Potential. And his first book, The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. So folks, if you have any questions, please give us a call at 800-930-2819. Welcome back, Ainsley.
It's good to be back.
Okay.
Fired up, you can tell.
You're all fired up. All right, I did my job. Okay. All right, so here's the thing I found so interesting about your book. You're talking about Truman and karma, and I love the example that you gave in your book. Can you share with the audience that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking about President Truman. For those who think I only pick on Republicans, I use a Democratic president. The point that I was making when talking about him was that karma is created, however much we can justify an action. In the case of Truman, he had the choice of whether the atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, he was the ultimate authority. Now, he used to say the buck stops here, and I think karmically that is just so true. Because although a lot of other people were involved and a lot of other people will have karma to deal with, it's really Truman's got the big stuff. The karma is basically about balancing the one experience against another. Because your soul comes here, and of course, because it has these core values, these goals that it's trying to achieve. If you take a life, that's a violation, and so you have to. You don't come back and say, "Well, you know, I took your life, so you take mine. It doesn't work in that way. But if you've taken a life, you want to come back and maybe do something that helps to benefit others. Mm. So it's a more, you know, positive way of
right, doing. And that's the balance that you're talking about. You know, he killed, I don't know how many people he killed.
Hundreds of thousands.
He killed hundreds of thousands.
It was not necessary. It was not, there was no justice there. It was, excuses were made. But it doesn't matter what excuse you make. The karma exists, and then it has to be balanced. The karma is different. It's interesting that if you are a soldier on a battlefield and you shoot an opponent, there's a lot less karma in a situation like that than if you're the person with the finger on the button.
Why is that? Because of the amount of free will that you have in those cases?
The amount of free will, absolutely. You're in a situation where it's coming down to, well, it's him or me. Well, there's not really much choice there.
Right.
So, but
one, you could argue is self-defense, and the other one is, hey, you have to make a conscious choice on whether you want to,
Yeah. I mean, there's some karma. It's not just self-defense. I mean, there's not, it's the person is, if they've chosen to be in that situation. I mean, that, even things like, was there a draft? Was that soldier there by choice or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then, could that person have dropped a weapon or whatever? So, anyway, you take a life, there's going to be some kind of karmic debt there. You take a lot of lives, and there's going to be a lot of debt. And the right or wrong in human terms, the way we justify it, some people say it shortened the war, some people say it didn't. That actually doesn't matter, because the situation exists, therefore it has to be balanced. So because...
But then, and I was telling my son about this, and he said, yeah, but he probably saved more than 100,000 lives. I'm like, I don't know if that's true. It's like, so doesn't that matter? And you're saying it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because you still killed...
That's hypothetical anyway. So, but what he's done in this, in the last couple of lifetimes, he chose in the life afterwards to discover... something about the effects of radiation. Not everybody died in the blast. A lot of people died over many years in great agony. Now, your soul doesn't deliberately say, well, we're going to make you die in an agonizing way to show the, how terrible a thing that was. Mm-hmm. But what it does say is, look, everyone's got to have a soul. There's a person, young girl, going to grow up in this heavily polluted part.
This is Truman, so his reincarnated knife.
Truman, reincarnation, so he comes back as this young girl in a place full of radiation. Now, the soul is not saying, okay, come in there and die and accept it. I mean, your soul is always trying to look for the best possible outcome, so it may say, well, let's try and, we'll learn some lessons about this, and maybe we can help people in the future, which is exactly what happened. He died very young in that life from radiation poisoning, and then has come back and is working in the nuclear industry in an area to do with safety.
Mm.
So there's a beneficial thing, and this will go on for maybe many lifetimes, where he'll come back and balance out things.
Mm. So what do we do when we do something like, I look back when I was in high school, I look back in college and think, I was serious. And I look back when I was working at Microsoft and I think I was a total jerk. So what can I do? Does this radio show count? Does it counterbalance?
Yeah, it's instant karma. What you do is you learn from that experience and you say, okay, well, I'm going to be a better person. It goes back to what we were talking about right at the beginning about acting authentically, and one of those things is to do with empathy. It's about being able to put yourself into somebody else's shoes. Now, if you can do that, and when you act, or even before you say, think about the impact of a statement, and think, well, how would I feel if somebody said what I'm just about to say to them? So you may be angry with somebody, but maybe just take that moment to say, oh, is that really the best way? Am I just venting, or is this the way that I would want someone to deal with this if the situation were reversed?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, anything you can do to help other people, to help create a better world, volunteer work, charitable work, anything that helps to create a better world is going to be good for your soul.
Mm. And is it instant? Like, you know, how many, is it like a scale like an Egyptian, you know, where they're like bad karma, good karma? Like, how does it weight, do you think?
Well, it's, you only know when you go over to the other side. It's only when your life ends, you go to the astral plane and there's a review of the life that you've had. Mm. It's only then that you know, because you'll experience the, you know, when you're at Microsoft and you, mm-hmm. you said something harsh to mm-hmm. someone, you might even have forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. But while you're reviewing your life, that will come back to you. But not only what you said, you'll get the emotional impact as well. You'll feel mm-hmm. their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get the growth. So all the bad stuff, all the good stuff, and exactly how it's tallied, I couldn't tell you. but and then your soul will decide, do you go up a notch or do you come back and re-experience something of that life? Do you not get the lessons you set out to learn? But you can mitigate any damage.
Better heavy up on the good stuff and just hope that
absolutely.
At the
end. Absolutely. Be a good person.
All right.
A good person.
All right. Peace out, everyone. Please remember Ainsley's message. Love, 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 love. It's the main thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So make sure to sign up for Ainsley's class. I took the class. He is a fabulous teacher. And if you don't get to make his class, and he has his books on CDs, and he has these two wonderful books that are incredibly well written. So one is called The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, and the other is A Transformation. So thank you so much. It was so fun to have you on the show.
It's been great. Thank you so much. I'd love to do it.
All right.
Again.
Okay, guys. We'll see you next week, everyone.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there. Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.